Loving God, we thank you that you are present in the whole of your creation, that you're present with us now, and that you desire us to know more fully the life of your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Please do be seated. I think I've got competition, have I? Ah, it's Will Kemp up there. It's going to be a long sermon, so I brought my snack with me. Okay, so we're in Lent, second Sunday of Lent, and traditionally, of course, as you know, it's a time of penitence, as already been referred to, self-examination, looking inwards, looking to that spiritual journey within us, and repentance over things that we might discover that we realise are not in the image of Christ, that are not part of that growing in union with God through Christ. So I guess during Lent, the idea is that we are asking ourselves those questions. Are we growing? Am I growing in union with God through Christ? Am I living the life that God has created for me to live? Am I going in the right direction? Is there anything that needs to change? Am I being transformed into the likeness of Christ? Mark kind of summarises for us in his Gospel the message that Jesus came to proclaim. The time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. I've quoted before Dallas Willard, who translates that verse, "Review your plans for living in the light of the fact that God's kingdom is available." Review your plans for living in the light of the fact that God's kingdom is available. So perhaps Lent is a time of review, of looking inwards, of just assessing, where are we? How are we doing? Each of us, but actually particularly this Lent for us as a church to kind of be asking that question too. How are we doing? Where are we? Let's review where we are in terms of relationship with God and in terms of God's kingdom breaking in. Because I believe God is always speaking to us. God is always wanting to get our attention. God is always wanting to speak his words of love and affirmation and liberation. The question is, how open are we to that loving voice of God breaking into our lives? And I suppose we might ask the question, how do we hear from God? How can we change and grow to be more like Jesus? I think there's something active we know that's got to happen, isn't there? Just hearing God's word isn't enough. Just sitting in service isn't enough. How can we change? How can we be more like Jesus? And how, as a church family, can we be the body of Christ? How, as a church family, can we embody Jesus? And perhaps a question, as we're thinking about our church life, for us to ponder this Lent, if, as William Temple, the Archbishop, once said, if the church exists primarily for the sake of those who are still outside it, we might ask our questions, how can we reach those people? Or how can we be more accessible to those people who are still outside of the church? Those of you that come to huddle groups will know that we use something called Life Shapes, which is kind of a tool for helping us to work out how we live in the kingdom, how we allow God's voice to speak and to change us. And one of the shapes that we use, the Life Shapes, is called the Learning Circle. And I want to introduce that to you this morning now, and we're going to actually use a video clip which is going to explain it to you. So some of you might have seen this before. The person that's speaking in the video is called Will Kemp. He's a vicar in West Sussex at the Point Church. And he describes how the learning circle is a tool which will enable us to learn and to grow. So as we are thinking about Lent, then I would encourage you to listen to this in terms of your own life, that self-examination, that thinking about how repent and believe applies to where you're at, for each of us to do that. But then also to listen particularly for how we might apply this principle to our church life. how we might review our church life. Because that's what we're going to be doing for the remaining Sundays during Lent. There'll be opportunities on Sunday mornings for us to pray together, for us to share together, for us to discern together. What is God saying? What is God saying to us as a church? Where are we at? In what ways is God wanting his kingdom to break in more fully amongst us? And importantly, what are we going to do about it? So I'm going to let you watch the video. It's about, we're starting part way through because he's talking about something else. So I think it's probably about 10 minutes or so thereabouts as he describes to us the learning circle.
But how do we grow? How do we change? How do we become more like Jesus? How do we grow in these amazing relationships that he has for us? Well, Life Shapes is very practical. And tonight's session is a real how-to. How to learn and grow and change. The learning circle. If we're going to change, if we're going to learn from Jesus, the first thing we've got to do is listen to the teacher. We've got to listen to his voice. Listen to Jesus. He's constantly wanting to break into our lives and speak to us afresh. And tonight is all about one verse. This section, all about one verse in the Bible. Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Now is the time. Jesus announces the kingdom of God. He announces his arrival and his teaching and his ministry at the beginning of Mark's gospel. Now is the time. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. That's how God's kingdom breaks into our lives, how Jesus speaks to us, how he wants us to grow into his likeness through the kingdom coming near through Jesus, and then we enter the kingdom through this process of repentance and belief. Repent and believe the good news. So, now is the time. Time. Did you know there are two types of time? There are two words for time that the New Testament uses. The first one is chronos. That's just the passing of time from the beginning to the end, from creation to final consummation, the Garden of Eden to the book of Revelation and the second coming of Jesus. Time is moving forward through all creation. In our lives, we're born, we live, we die. That's chronos time. It moves forward in a straight line. But the word here, where Jesus says now is the time, is not chronos. He says now is the time. It's the moment. It's the occasion. Now is that moment in your life. Jesus is saying, and the word used is kairos. Kairos. Now is the kairos. Now is the time. And this kairos is sort of like, it's when you say, well, do you remember the time when this happened? Do you remember that time? It was a moment in my life where something happened, something significant. Maybe you got a new job. Maybe you got married. Maybe something simple. Maybe just something was cancelled and suddenly you had a free day or a free hour. Or, and very often, these kairos moments, we call them, these kairos moments in our lives are when some difficulty comes, some challenge. One thing is when we get some criticism, when we're corrected on something. Oh, that's always a kairos moment. It's always that moment. Ugh, it happens. It hurts. So often a kairos moment is a challenging moment, is when something is difficult in our lives and it hits us. And what do we do? Now is the time. Now is the kairos moment. When something happens, what do we do? Well, this verse tells us we go round the learning circle. A kairos moment happens. How do you go round the circle? You repent. Repent. And first repent round this half of the circle. And then believe. Believe the good news. That's how you go round the circle. Repent. And believe the good news. Now is the time, the kairos moment. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Well, repentance. What is repentance? What does it mean to repent? It doesn't mean beating yourself up, feeling terrible, going, oh, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. That's not what the word repent actually literally means. The word metanoia in that New Testament, that Greek word, it means to change your mind. It literally means to turn your mind around. It's a moving word. You're going in one direction and you turn around and go in another direction. What it means is turning to God. Turning our attention to God. Turning to listen to God. To be attentive to the Lord. Turn to God in that moment and listen to what He has to say. How He wants to speak to us in that moment. To see things His way. Repentance, it's not a state that we live in or that we stay in. It's something that we pass through. The Kairos moment happens and we suddenly think, what's God? What's God saying to me now? Turn my attention to God. Do I need to turn away from something? A wrong attitude, some kind of sinful attitude, something that's wrong in my life. Turn away from that, turn towards God. Let me repent and turn to God in that moment. But it's something that happens in a moment. It's something we pass through, not something we stay in. So we talk about repentance as a doorway to pass through. In fact, I like this illustration. There are, in fact, three doors of repentance. Door one, two of them are not true repentance. They're not actually what repentance is about. But door one is what we call the door of pride or denial. Denial. The door of pride or denial. When we're challenged, when maybe that criticism comes and we go, I'm not receiving that. That's a load of rubbish. They're wrong. I refuse to repent. I refuse to turn to God. I'm just rejecting anything that I'm challenged on. That's the door of pride. But then this one is the door of condemnation. Condemnation, which is the opposite, which is when some challenge or criticism comes and we don't repent, we just feel utterly condemned. We're just, oh no, I'm so useless, I've done it again, I'm a bad person, I'm rubbish, I'll never change, and all that cloud of condemnation comes on us and we just feel absolutely wretched. So, in fact, the door of pride isn't really a door, it's like a brick wall. We just brick it up and say, I ain't going through there. That is absolute pride and denial. No way, I'm not passing through that door of repentance. But the door of condemnation is like a circular door, one of those doors that's just spinning round. You never come out of it. You just stay in it. I'm just in repentance all the time. Oh, I'm so useless. I'm so rubbish. I can never get out of here. I just have to feel terrible about myself. That's not repentance. That's condemnation. But the door of true repentance is the middle one, is the door where Jesus calls us to pass through. When that Kairos moment comes up and we say, I need to turn to the Lord, I need to acknowledge anything that's wrong in my life, and I need to receive His forgiveness, and I need to move into the kingdom. Repent and believe, because the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is here. The wonderful kingdom of God. Repent and believe. Here we go, the learning circle. Repent and believe what? Believe the good news. Believe the good news. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible tells us. We're loved. I'm forgiven because of what Jesus has done for me on the cross. I know that I'm a child of God. That's amazing. I know God as my Heavenly Father. I have nothing to fear in this world. I have the power of the Holy Spirit in me to bring transformation and change and new life. God is in control. God is in control. I don't have to worry. I belong to my Heavenly Father. This is the good news. Repent and believe the good news. Let me give you a quick example. The other day, I received a challenge. I wanted to do something. I was absolutely sure this is the right thing to do, and I'm going to do it. And somebody challenged me and said, "Will, I'm not sure you're allowed to do that." And I was so cross. I was like, "Don't be ridiculous. If I'm not allowed, then that's a stupid rule. I should be able to do this. I want to do it. It's the best thing for me. It's the best thing for this, for the church. I'm doing something for the church. I want to move forward in this direction." And I was challenged and saying, "Will, I don't think you're allowed to do that." You know, but it was a Kairos moment when that person challenged me. So I'm not sure if you're allowed. Don't you think you really need to think that through? Well, I'd already told people I was doing it. I didn't want to change my mind. So, but I, by God's grace, it was a Kairos moment. And I had to stop and turn to God and say, "Lord, is this really the right thing?" And by God's grace, I thought, I need to get some advice. I went to someone in authority who I had to get permission from. Well, I didn't need permission, but I needed advice. I needed wisdom. So I went to that person and they said to me, "Actually, Will, you're not allowed to do that, but you can do this." And another solution emerged. And so by repenting and turning, but I didn't beat myself up and go, "Oh, Will, here you go again. You're so independent. You're so impulsive. You just go ahead and do things. And then you have to mess it up because I have to go and apologize and say, 'I'm sorry. I said we were doing this, but we're not doing it now.' And, you know, it's all a mess." I could have really beaten myself up. But no, I thought, "Lord, thank you for your forgiveness. I know I shouldn't have been so quick and hasty. I should have thought, you know," and I'm learning, because it's the learning circle. What have I learned? I'm learning, get advice before you make the decision, rather than after you make the decision and tell people about it. That's a good thing to learn, and the kingdom of God breaks into my life, and I become a better leader, and I have more wisdom, and I'm working better with a team. That's what I want to be. I want to be that kind of leader. So that's an example of a Kairos moment and why I still need my L plate, because I'm a lifelong learner from Jesus. He constantly wants to break into my life. And then believe the good news. Believe is an action word. You've got to put it into practice. You can't just say, "Oh yeah, great, I believe all this good stuff about Jesus." But no, I've actually then got to step out in faith. I've got to do that differently next time. I've got to seek that advice. I've got to learn from my mistakes. I've got to receive the Holy Spirit to empower me, ready for the next thing. Like James says, James, the book of James, chapter 2, verse 18. "I'll show you my faith by what I do." Faith is an action word. Believing is all about putting it into practice. So there's the learning circle. And the verse for today, there's one thing you remember from today. Let's remember, Jesus says, now is the time. It's always the time when Jesus wants to break into our lives. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news.
Time is near. The time is now. Repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is near. So this period of Lent we want to use as a church as a time of discernment together to review where we're at as a church. And so I just want to unpack what we've just heard a little bit in terms of trying to apply it to our church life. So no doubt you could all identify with the doors of repentance in terms of your individual lives. But as a church, perhaps we could be asking ourselves a question: are there any areas in which we might have that pride and denial going on when we think, like, we've always done it this way and this is the right way to do it, or not listening to the Spirit, not accepting God's leading for the future? Or perhaps the door of condemnation, being down on ourselves, we might feel we're failing, or that we're not very good at being a church, or feeling a bit useless or bad or rubbish about church life. Or that door of true repentance, the doorway into kingdom life. What are we believing for as a church? What do we want to see God doing? Where do we believe that God is continuing to lead us? Of course, we're not starting from scratch. We're not saying we're about to start a church and we've got a blank sheet. We've got a lot of history behind us and a lot of experience together. And in particular, we have the Psalm 68 vision. Believe the good news. We're called to be like God as God's family. And we know that God is a God who delights to put the lonely in families, creating spaces of belonging and acceptance and care and home. We know that God has a particular heart for the poor and the vulnerable, the broken, and that God delights to provide spaces of inclusion and acceptance and care. And we know that God isn't about judging people in that negative sense, but rather working with people, setting us free, bringing us salvation and redemption and new life, kingdom life. And I think this is really good news, the Psalm 68 vision of us being a church that is like that, creating family, defending the vulnerable, setting people free. I think it's really good news, not just for people that we might not have reached yet, but I think it's really good news, to me, it's really good news for me. I need a church like that. I need to be part of a church where I can be accepted and loved with all my vulnerabilities and my brokenness and my weaknesses. And I'm hoping that that's perhaps what you feel you need too. Because the truth is that we all stand in need before God. We're all damaged, we're all broken. We've all messed up at some point in our lives in one way or another. We all have our vulnerabilities. Sometimes perhaps we're in a particularly vulnerable place and our needs shout a bit louder, or perhaps we encounter people who, for whatever reason, are in a difficult place in their lives and their needs shout a bit louder. But the truth is, we all stand in need before God and in need of his love and his grace. And so the Psalm 68 vision says to us that actually God calls us to be a church which accepts and welcomes everyone. A church in which we can all be accepted and welcomed and belong. A church that doesn't judge in a negative, excluding way, but actually loves and forgives. Yesterday I got through my door, actually I think it was in with the Week magazine or something, this little flyer. And it said, perfect doesn't grow on trees. Perfect doesn't grow on trees. Get deliciously odd fruit and veg delivered to your door or to your doorstep. And then you use the code Wonky94 to be able to get a special offer. I loved that. I think the temptation in our lives and in our church life can be that we want to be well presented. So I've got here some apples. They're all kind of the same size and the colour, and they've probably been specially selected, and they've been wrapped in plastic to be presented nicely and smartly. But actually that's not how nature produces apples, is it really? When I pick apples off my tree at home, they're all different shapes and sizes and colours, and some are very odd looking in shape, some are very round, some have different shapes. So nature doesn't present things like this. God delights in diversity. And the temptation can be for us as a church to kind of all want to conform to the same kind of expectations and way of living and behaving that becomes very homogenous, and we're all the same kind of size and all kind of have the same characteristics, and we want to be beautifully presented and come in our Sunday best. That's perhaps the temptation of church life. The problem with that, of course, is that actually when we feel as though we can't live up to being like this, what happens and how do we feel? What about people who don't live up to this or feel as though they don't live up to this that might visit us or encounter us and they think, oh gosh, I could never live well presented like this. That's not, my life's more chaotic and more broken and more damaged than that. Right? I'm not that shape. I think God calls us to be the kind of church where we can be all different, varying in size and shape. We can be wonky and accepted. We can be misshapen by the experiences of life, but still loved and accepted. So, I suppose what I'm saying this morning is, over these next few weeks as we seek to discern where we're at as a church, where God's leading us. I want us to be thinking in terms of that repent and believe. How do we listen to what the Spirit is saying to us now, the Kairos moment for us as a church at this point? How do we take the Psalm 68 vision, that good news of a place of belonging and defending the vulnerable and setting prisoners free, being God's family together, and how do we see that working out amongst us? What's the natural next steps? In what ways might we have a change of mind and perception and attitude? In what ways might we need to open up to something new that God is doing amongst us? In what ways can we do better what we already do? Some of the great qualities of this church that you see written on that board at the back about accepting and welcoming and loving and a sense of God's presence. How can we make more of that? And how can we do that in a way that others outside of our church walls who are desperately looking for that place of belonging and welcome and inclusion and opportunity to grow in faith, how can we do it in a way where they feel accepted? They don't have to be like this before they can be included and welcomed. So I invite you and urge you over these next few weeks, both in your own prayer lives at home, but also when we gather on a Sunday, for us to together to explore this, to think about this, to pray. And let's seek to hear the Spirit's leading, the kind of church that he's calling us to be, and the kind of church he wants us to grow into.